Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Welcome to the Friday Night Sports Jam, heard right here on KFNS 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com, and 105.7 FM HD2. I'm Todd Blackstock, back in the house tonight. After a week off, Mr. Don Johnson held down the fort, along with Mr. Rudolph behind the glass over there tonight. So thank you very much. I know we kind of did a pseudo show, had a couple old interviews we rolled in there, and I'm sure you guys had a little bit of fun. I had a lot of fun right here thinking about you in the Chuck's Boot Studios.
Yeah, I can see that, Todd.
And in the Friday Night Sports Jam with DJ Don Johnson, Todd Blackstock, John Rudolph behind the glass back there. I was going to take care of all our calls and any production needs. If anybody needs a safe zone or a place to cry, just call us at the Fire Fan phone lines at 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255. We would like to thank Paul Minio's Trattoria at Westport Plaza. Give them a call. They're going to be open for about another hour at 314-878-8180. Brian Clark is there on Saturday nights, but he will not be there tomorrow. But it's still going to be a beautiful patio afternoon. So, folks, get out to Paul Minio's at Westport Plaza. Something fun happened this week. I was actually in the Channel 5 Show Me St. Louis.
What?
Episode. Yeah, I was there up at Westport, and there was they were talking about the play. I guess the church ladies are, you know, play up at Westport at the Playhouse. And so they made their rounds through Westport Plaza and over to the train wreck and Paul Minio's and some other places, and I was spotted. And the next thing you know, I was on the air yesterday.
That doesn't surprise me, Todd. You have something to say.
How about that? You know, I guess I just have Mike, they just wind me up and send me on the way. But
you the man.
Yeah, I was between the 6 and 8.5 minute mark. So
Ooh.
If anybody, you know, if you want to go to John Todd Blackstock Sports Jam 99, and I'll post that on there after the show tonight or tomorrow. Also, go to John Todd Blackstock Sports Jam 99 for Fire Fan. Learn how to play Fire Fan. It's really fun. They're doing it with Major League Baseball right now. You can get your love. Go to that website, the Facebook page, and put your name in there, contact information, and we will show you how to play Fire Fan. You can play. It's really cool. Before each inning, they, you know, Albert Pujols hit a home run this inning. You know, you're kind of like, it does trivia questions throughout the games. So that's a whole lot of fun. And with the NFL coming around, everybody is going to want to play Fire Fan on Sundays when it's NFL because, you know, you're going to be right there playing Fire Fan, watching the game, and you're involved with the game interactively. It's really, really fun. Had a great time at the Lake of the Ozarks last week. I was on vacation down there and an event called Flushapalooza. So it was a kind of a, you know, 25, 30 college friends of ours. We go down there every year at the same time and go boating and all
doing
that kind of fun side.
Huh?
I did some jet skiing.
Now, yeah.
I did jet skiing.
Okay.
I didn't do regular skiing. There'll
That's
be none of that.
Enough.
Jet skiing is fun, so we'd like to thank Flesh.
No inner tube, Todd?
No inner tubes. Actually, they have these big mats that they buy at some of these like trade shows, and they connect it to the back of their boat.
Hmm.
And you can walk on these mats. They blow them up, and you can walk. You can dance on them. You can
lay on those. So you want to walk on water? Is that what you're telling me, Todd?
This guy's got a really cool setup where, you know, they've got 4 or 5 bedrooms overlooking the lake, and they've got a big dock, a couple of boats, a couple of jet skis. And it was a really cool deal. But everybody, every year they would go cove out. So they would meet some people. They'd go out a couple miles on. They would sit there. And it would take everybody like an hour to get all their stuff together, their coolers and their food. And
oh, yeah, what are we going to bring? Day.
And so you go out, you know, a mile or two, and then you cove out, and it's great. Well, then they had a bright idea that, why don't we just cove out here? You know, you got a dock. You can go jet ski if you want. And they rolled out these big mats. And so you can just lay right there. And, you know, if you want to, you know, get an adult beverage or get a beer or something, you know, you can just go grab it. You don't have to walk over anybody, worry about trash or any of that stuff. So that was a heck of a lot of fun, but it made for a pretty busy week. So flying back up late Friday night, early Saturday morning for the St. Louis Surge game.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then the team from California, Southern California, they had a travel issue. So the people that flew to St. Louis, the team members, they were here, but the team members that drove, they didn't get here in time. So they had to forfeit the game. So the Surge went into the semifinals and played against the Diesel team from Texas. And they took a bit, took care of business in that game by about 6 points. A little close for comfort. A little too close for comfort for, you know, Surge fans. But then the final game, Sunday afternoon, the national championship, WBCBL, they lost 64-63.
No.
Yes, and this is a team that every year, all year long, they've scored 100 points or more in just about every single game, averaging more than 100 points. And Georgia, they came up, they're the third seed, and they were averaging 94 points per game. And it just didn't follow the Surge's way. So they lost 64-63. Rebecca Harris's ball bounced off the rim as time expired. It was shocking,
oh,
Don.
No.
The Surge were up 10 points late in the fourth quarter, and they ended up losing that game. So I know, you know, the team was disappointed, but they had a great team. They had a great season. And, you know, finishing runner-up in the nation isn't too bad. So anyway, how about you? How was your week, Don? Did you miss me?
Yes, I did. We had fun on the radio when you were going briefly, Todd, but then we got to the tape and it kept everybody glued to their radio.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Oh, man. So we leave the Surge game after they lost, and I was ready to, you know, to throw down and have a big party and have a lot of fun, and they lost. So a friend of ours had a place at Ameristar. Invited us up, nice
that's
lady friend of ours.
Atmosphere, top.
Yeah. So we went over there, you know, checked out Ameristar. Go, we hit Rise, a really cool nightclub. They had a really cool rehydrate party going on at the pool, and so after that, you go to Rise, get something to eat out there. You know, they've got so many Bugattis is a really nice restaurant out there. So you go get a little something to eat, and you go watch a little Trixie's Delight. So Trixie's Delight was there at Bottleneck Blues Bar. So that was a lot of fun. And then, well, of course, like I said, I made it onto an episode of Show Me St. Louis. So pretty crazy week. And then the next thing you know, it's time for the show, and here we are.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Sure does. So anyway, it's the Friday Night Sports Jam right here on KFNS, 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com, live streaming 105.7 FM HD2. I'm Todd Blackstock. At 9 o'clock, we're going to have Jonathan Duncan in. Jonathan is with West News Magazine and Mid-Rivers News Magazine. So we're going to be talking some high school football and some American Legion and some fun things like that. They're going to be taking place coming up. We're going to find out who some of the top teams this year in high school football are going to be, and that and much, much more. Some of the big injuries are going to affecting some of the major programs. There's a big one out there. It's just heartbreaking. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We're going to talk a little bit Mizzou football and basketball with DJ Don Johnson and myself. So give us a call. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Friday Night Sports Jam. Heard right here on KFNS 590 The Fan, 105.7 FM HD2, and InsideSTL.com live stream. Show's brought to you in part by Nisbet Family Chiropractic. Nisbet Family Chiropractic. Visit Dr. Ron. He's at 249 Clarkson Road in Ellisville, Missouri. Give him a call at 636-256-0707. Mention the Friday Night Sports Jam and get a free adjustment. How about that, Don? We'll have Dr. Nisbet on here again real soon. He's also an assistant high school wrestling coach. So we're going to do a little wrestling segment with Dr. Ron here from time to time. We'd also like to thank Carpet Direct. Give Mark Wolf a call. Mark and Sonia Wolf at 314-359-7732 for all your carpet and flooring needs. And don't forget, Carpet Direct comes to you. Well, I'm Todd Blackstock. We've got a lot of breaking news before we get to Missouri Tiger talk. The Florida Marlins, it's been reported multiply, Tim Rosenthal, as far as Jerry Krasnick, ESPN senior writer, they've pretty much breaking news in the last couple of hours. Marlins owner Jeffrey Loria finalizing an agreement to sell the team to a group, including Derek Jeter. So Derek Jeter and Bruce Sherman. So Bruce Sherman is apparently going to be like the owner, and Derek Jeter is going to be like the CEO, and he's going to be in charge of all baseball operations. So Ken Rosenthal reporting that today on ESPN that the bid, the final selling price, will be about $1.2 billion for the Marlins. So what do you think about that? Derek Jeter back in the game, and now he's in an ownership role. I think he's put in like $25 million of his own money into this project. So what's that, like one season, you know, for Derek? He gave away one of his year's paychecks. But Major League Baseball teams and franchises, they don't decrease in value. They only increase in value. And so, didn't they buy the Cardinals for like, you know, like $500 million or a couple hundred million? And then they threw in, they had the garages and all that included as well. I know it was a separate sale on those, but the Cardinals got those Stadium Garage West and Stadium Garage East, the DeWitt family, at a pretty good price when you think about how expensive the teams are now. So Derek Jeter, we'll see if these guys want to win, because it doesn't seem like the Marlins, you know, they've won a couple World Series, and it's kind of crazy because it doesn't, then they sell the team off. You know, they get this brand new ballpark in Southern Florida. Beautiful ballpark, and they have these roll out these crappy teams. So I guess Jeffrey Loria, this is just a big money grab for him. He's making hundreds of millions of dollars, and you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to have a crappy team. So you buy a team. It's like Kroenke. Kroenke can sell the Rams now, and just and the Rams are probably worth double, maybe triple of what they're worth in St. Louis. So what are your thoughts on Derek Jeter?
Well, I think Derek Jeter is going to have a great opportunity. He'll do some marketing. You got to realize that they have all sorts of paraphernalia that they'll be allowing.
Paraphernalia? What kind of paraphernalia?
Well, you got the jerseys. You got the hats. I mean, you got the watches. Look at all the things that the Cardinals give away. You know, they got watches. They got teams. They got hats. They got everything you could wear or put on your body to give away from time to time. So Jeter will start doing that, and then it'll be great for the guys that are in the minor leagues to see him come through every now and then, maybe watch a game while they're playing, or go down and talk to him, or either the high school kids. I mean, Derek's a great guy. He has a good reputation. He's going to be there. He's going to make some money. And he's got a pretty face. So they can take a lot of photos of him doing some positive things. That'll help the baseball league further market itself to the consumers.
A pretty face, huh? I never thought of Derek Jeter as a pretty face.
Yeah. You put him on different wardrobes, he's going to be the man. Because
no,
why?
He was a good-looking guy.
He doesn't have a pot belly.
No, he doesn't have a pot belly. Okay. He's a good-looking guy. I mean, he's a baseball player, an athlete.
Great smile.
You know, I don't know. It sounds like you have a man crush on him, Don. I'm not sure.
No, being a psychologist, I just observe the insides and the outsides.
Oh, gosh. Switching gears. Ezekiel Elliott from John Burroughs High School here in St. Louis, Ohio State University, and now with the Dallas Cowboys, is going to miss six games. The first six games of the regular season, He has 3 days, I guess two more, to appeal that.
Yeah.
I think he'll appeal it, and I think they'll drop it down to four. That's what I think. You know, I think Jerry Jones is powerful enough. Heck, he just went into the Hall of Fame, and he's still the owner. You know, how can that happen? The guy's, he's not even dead yet. He's still the owner, and he's in the Hall of Fame, and he's still in that position. So Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's gonna have to appeal. I mean, why wouldn't he appeal? What's he got to lose? Maybe they'll get that down to four games, and then he'll have a strong 12-game stretch. How will fantasy football react to this?
Right. Will it affect Ezekiel? That's going to be the question, because let's look at it. This just didn't start yesterday. This type of behavior probably was there in high school. If he's a great star, the coaches usually don't come down on the stars. Probably happened when he was in college. Had some run-ins. Again, we're going to keep this under the rug, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's out in front. He's a professional now. And these behaviors are just showing themselves. I regret to think that this just got started. His behavior has to be this way, and there's something between him and ladies, one control, or figuring that, hey, I have enough money that right now I can do what I want to do because I made it to the pros. I'm being marketed for the Dallas Cowboys. So therefore, the chicks, they're going to come and go. So they don't matter, but I matter. And I think that's one thought that he has. And he's going to learn one thing. They're going to make an example of somebody in the NFL. Because, you know, you had Ray Rice. He went through it.
Well, he had a 2-game suspension.
Right.
And it upset a lot of people because the video of the casino elevator had her just knocking the girl out.
Right, but they said that was too light. So they had
that
to
was
come
too
back
light,
and,
right?
Yeah,
and
do
this
some
is a
things
couple.
With him.
Well, I don't think St. Patrick's Day helped Ezekiel Elliott as well. He was on a float in Dallas,
right?
And he pulled a young lady's shirt off and showed her boobs in front of everybody.
Yeah, you kind of reflect back. Was he taught that at home? I mean, if that would have been his mother, would he have pulled her shirt up?
Yeah,
you have to learn respect for women from a woman, and that's his mother.
That's crazy. I can't believe he did that. I mean, I hate to say it, but I initially laughed. I thought it was funny. Then I was like, oh my God, what did he just do? You know, it's kind of like a wardrobe malfunction, but it wasn't a malfunction. I mean, he lifted the girl. I mean, she didn't seem like she cared. She, I'm not sure if it was a good friend of his or if it's a date.
At the time and not know what to do.
You know, Taylor Swift is suing the guy, the radio guy, who grabbed her butt. He grabbed her derriere. And now she's suing him.
Now, just think of all the women that are in the world. Why did he have to pick her?
I mean, why do you want to get, especially Taylor Swift? You know, she already got dished on by Kanye West.
You don't know these people, but all of a sudden, because you're a guy, you're going to take advantage. You're going to feel like, well, if I feel her butt, it won't. No.
Yeah, he thinks that he's a cute DJ, so he's going to have the opportunity to grab Taylor Swift's butt.
Yeah, of a small little town. He's a DJ. So what is that supposed to mean? He's
like
not known nationally.
I like big
but
butts.
He's known now, though. He's known now. She's going to sue him, but only for a buck.
Well,
she
I think
just
she
wants
just
to
wants
to get even with him.
Well, she just wants him to have it on his record. That's what I think. So anyway, so Ezekiel Elliott, you know, we broadcasted. I broadcasted his junior football games. We did the JFL Monday Night Game of the Week. With STL TV. Do you remember? Because were you doing the game or was it Demetrius Johnson?
I think it was Demetrius.
Yeah, because I remember Ezekiel. He scored like 3 touchdowns, and I think he's played for Matthews Dickey, one of the city teams. And he was really good. And I remember he scored like 3 touchdowns one game, and I said, Ezekiel saw the wheel, after the 3rd touchdown because he was so good. But apparently he needs to see that wheel more and straighten some things out. Because Ezekiel Elliott is a hell of a running back, and he's got the benefit of having a fantastic offensive line, one of the best in football. So right now, Darren McFadden, you would think he's going to get all the carries or an enormous amount of carries in the first 6 weeks. There probably will be a game or two reduced. So where do you draft Ezekiel Elliott? I mean, you're going to know. We don't have our draft till August 25th or 26th, so we'll know. By that time, who will be in camp if Le'Veon Bell will end his holdout, if Martavis Bryant can get full permission to play. There's a story. We'll talk about that here after a while.
Now, the only one I have a problem with is Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson.
I think for him disciplining his son, that was taken the wrong way due to the fact that we do have different cultures here in the United States. Because I myself, my father was a barber. I felt the barber strap, and that's what they sharpened up razors with. But I also had the switch and the belt and this, that, and other. When I went out, I had respect for adults. I didn't get in trouble, so the police would be chasing me when I got older. I knew how to hold it together because why? My father did discipline me. So we have a culture here where some people say, oh, don't put your hand on that kid. Don't do that. And my people say, hey, I'm going to whoop your butt at home so that guess what? When you get out in the street, they won't kill you, and you'll respect those elders that are out there that love you and will tell you whether you're going the wrong way or not, and you need to listen to them.
This is true. So,
Peterson shouldn't be in that crowd that, well, we had to get him and straighten him out. I don't think so.
You know, I was at the Rams game on the field credentialed the day before that suspension hit. And the last thing Adrian Peterson did, I even took pictures of it. I was so impressed. He had a pretty good game. Cordarrelle Patterson had a monster game. Cordarrelle Patterson. And after the game, though, Adrian Peterson took off his shoes and his gloves, and he gave them to Rams fans, you know, kids, you know, in the crowd. And you just hear, boom, here you go. I mean, this is like one of the greatest running backs of all time. And I just thought, wow, what a good character guy this guy is. And here he goes behind everybody's back and spanks his kid.
He's a father, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I got spanked.
Yeah, he's not like he saw this kid on the street corner and gave him a spanking. This is his kid.
Let me tell you something. I smarted off a few times as a kid.
I felt the back of a hand I thought that my mouth was a little ahead.
Yeah, I got a belt or two back in the day, and my parents didn't get arrested.
And you don't have a police record, Todd. I'm proud of you.
Not because
of
that.
Your parents are just tickled to death.
Let's think what Vegas has to say about the Ezekiel Elliott situation. Sports books in Las Vegas are taking, some of them are taking the Cowboys off the books right now.
What?
They're taking them off because they don't know what to do because, you know, there hasn't been an appeal yet. So the Cowboys, according to Westgate Superbooks, is a 10-1 odd to win the Super Bowl. They were 5-1 odds previously to make it to the Super Bowl, to come through the NFC. Now, it's gone up there. It's not too much. They've gone up to 6-1 odds to make the Super Bowl and 12-1 odds to win it. Right now in the NFC, the Packers are the favorites to win the NFC, according to Westgate Superbooks, at 7-2 odds. The Seahawks are 9-2 odds. The Falcons are 5-1 odds. The Cowboys are 6-1 odds.
I think that's a great mistake due to the fact, let's look at it. They still have some great receivers. They have some backs that can run the ball, and they have a quarterback that can run the ball also. So I don't think just, you know, by Zeke not being there that the Cowboys are going to be at the bottom of the barrel.
I tell you, they've got a nice backup running back there.
Thank you.
Darren McFadden from Arkansas. He's gonna get the ball. He was a good running back. So it's kind of like last year with the Le'Veon Bell situation, you know.
And what about the offensive line for the Cowboys?
They have a very good offensive line. So you're going to see, you know, if Ezekiel Elliott played for like the Cleveland Browns, how good would he be? I mean, look at Todd Gurley, how good he was his rookie year. And look how bad he was last year because they have no line. I guarantee you, if you put Todd Gurley on the Dallas Cowboys, he gets 2,000 yards.
Okay? I couldn't agree with you more.
I really think that. So Ezekiel is fortunate enough to have dropped into the draft to where the Dallas Cowboys picked him up. So I thought that was a good move by the Cowboys. They've got a nice line. But Ezekiel, he's got a pattern of misbehaving, and I hope it doesn't continue. I'm sure that right now, you know, he's feels terrible about what's going on and letting down the city and letting down his team. But this investigation's been going on for over a year. You know, a lot of people say the young lady that accused him was just mad and trying to ruin his career. You know, and it's almost like if someone comes out and says something about a football player or an athlete, immediately that athlete's guilty, no matter what. Even if it's someone that, hey, maybe he broke up with somebody and they didn't want to go out with him anymore. You know, an old girlfriend or someone that had a crush and he ignored her. Or maybe he said something rude to her. But there's been several incidents. It wasn't just one thing that's gotten Ezekiel into trouble. So but hopefully Todd, Ezekiel can get it together.
This isn't just starting. I mean, Ezekiel has to know this. When he's at higher profile of a person in the United States, he is going to be a target like this. So he has to learn that. And maybe it's veterans he needs to talk to or I don't know who he could talk to, but he's got to realize this because why? When he was growing up, didn't he hear about some athletes that had some run-ins with some females?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, good luck. Best of luck to Ezekiel Elliott. We'll see what happens. We'll talk to him.
For you. Go to church, Zeke.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more in the second hour. We're going to talk about fantasy football.
Lift up your shirt if you want the shirt lifted up, okay? Lift up your shirt.
Yeah, lift it up. I mean, yeah. It wasn't Mardi Gras. That's the whole thing. I think he got
St. Patrick's Day. He didn't even wear green that day, was he?
St. Patrick's Day and Mardi Gras are two different things.
Jump and bigorra. Come on.
I mean, if it was Mardi Gras in St. Louis, I don't think anybody would have batted an eye.
Stop.
But... It was St. Patrick's Day in Dallas, so that didn't make any sense. It was the wrong holiday for that type of behavior, and now Ezekiel Elliott is gone for possibly as long as 6 weeks. So that would be week 8 in the NFL season because the Cowboys have a bye in week 6, and so he's going to miss. He could possibly miss half the season.
Ezekiel has a behavior problem he needs to get in. Touch with.
You know what, though? Another thing, though, is just look how fresh he'll be for the second half of the year. When some of the other players at the end of the year, they're tired and they're worn down. When it comes to playoff time, Zeke, he'll be in midseason form.
It's like being a ballerina, my man. You have to have your certain timing down with the offensive line and with the quarterback. Timing is of essence.
It is a business. All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk about University of Missouri, the football team.
Dun, 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 yeah.
Yeah, how about that? Mizzou, they've got several question marks. They've got some great things happening. They've got some, things that they need to work on. But Terry Beckner Jr., the prize recruit from East St. Louis, coming back from his second knee injury.
Unbelievable. In 201, he had the right knee operated on. He got that well. Now it's the left knee that he's making a recovery on.
Gosh, that's horrible. I'm glad it wasn't the same knee. Because if you blast it out the same knee twice, then it makes the recovery a lot harder. But he tore his knee up a couple years ago, and his training rehab was not going well at all.
Yeah, he was an All-American in 2015. That was when he was a freshman All-American.
He was a freshman All-American, yeah. And then he hurts his knee. I mean, he just got rolled up on his knee. It was horrific.
And he didn't know how to react to it.
He'd never been hurt in his life.
Exactly.
What's the guy to do? He doesn't know what to do because he's never been hurt in his whole life. And so his rehab wasn't going very well. And one of the trainers with the University of Missouri, he really worked with Terry Beckner Jr. a lot. And the second time he injured his knee last year, he came right back and started rehabbing hard. So he'd been through it once. He says, I kicked it once. I'm going to kick it again. I'm going to get back in there and help the Tigers get back to mediocrity.
Well, the first time it was a mental block. It was a lot of mental involved with his rehabilitation because it was strange to him. Now, he went through it before, so now he's recovering quicker. He knows what exercises to do in order to strengthen that. So he has a whole different attitude that I'm coming off this. I've been through it before. I don't have those mental hang-ups that I had when I didn't know what was going to happen. This is the first time I've ever been injured.
It is. So he's such a force to be reckoned with, Terry Beckner Jr. The University of Missouri, they need him inside that lineup. They need him in there because he just jammed it up. I mean, think of all the great defensive linemen the University of Missouri has produced. I mean, Sheldon Richardson, And he's another guy, poor guy. He's a great player, a great talent. Awesome football player, and he's got some off the field issues as well. But Sheldon, I would look for him to have a huge year this year.
Well, if you look at it on the offensive line, you've got most of the returning lettermen or those that have played a lot of football. But on the defensive line, they lost Charles Harris. He was one of their stalwarts at the defensive end position, and the linebackers they left the two defensive backs. So they've got a lot of holds the field, and they have to get a defensive line that can really hold the ball, pursue it, and get that ball back to Drew Locke as quick as possible.
That's true. So talking about Drew Locke, he's coming back again this year. Drew Locke in 2016 was 237 completions on 434 attempts. Not a great percentage there, a little about 54%. He had 3,399 yards and 23 touchdowns, right. 10 interceptions. A couple of those games, though, against some of those patsy programs really increased his statistics.
Good, yeah.
Well, I mean, he lit it up against some second tier teams.
Right.
So I think Drew Locke and Jamon Moore padded their stats in a couple of those games, and they were shut out and looked pretty bad in a lot of those games. But the Tigers have a lot of players coming back. Sophomore running back Demaria Crockett, 158 rushes, over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. I think he got caught with a little of that wacky tobacco.
Wacky tea?
Yeah, so he was on the lettuce. We got to have a big year from Jamon Moore. Last year, 62 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. But he had a lot of drops, and it seemed like a lot of times, Don, he just wasn't focused. He wasn't focused on the game. You just kind of wonder sometimes where his mind is.
Well, when I look at the quarterback position with Locke, there's a lot of things I want to consider. What kind of quarterback is he, and what is his thought pattern when he's throwing the ball? If you look at the, I call it Kurt Warnerism. Kurt Warner had ability to throw the ball with a receiver was supposed to be, and receiver ran to it. Now, is that the type of person you want Locke to be, or do you want him to throw the ball where the guy is actually at? And those are two different situations. I'd like to see him go through the Warnerism, that he tells his receivers, hey, the ball's going to be here, you get away from your guy, and you run to the ball. Not I'm going to try to hit you, because if I don't throw it long enough, the guy's behind you, he's going to pull the ball down, and we're going to lose it. I think the other thing about him is that you have the people in the press box telling him what to do. Is there a time when he can override the coach in the press box and make a call and make an adjustment? Because he may have to keep the ball sometime in order for Missouri to keep the ball. But every time I look at the offense and I see Locke, first thing they do is stop and look at the sideline. I'm not used to that type of football. Because if that's it, we could have a lineman that could be the quarterback. I think if you've been through the spring game, you've come back in the preseason, you need to be out there. You get your boys in the center. You got so many plays you can run, and you start making some of those calls. You can look to the bench, but you have the power to override something that they send in there. Because why? They may call a play that hasn't worked all day, and the lineman may be able to look at you and say, hey, come through my hole. You can keep the ball. Or we've been doing this all game, and you haven't called. I mean, there should be some adjustment so that can be made. But in order for the guy in the press box to be calling the game, and all he's going to do is look at the sideline and pick up the play, why do we need him as a quarterback? Because anybody could step in there that could have a halfway decent arm and that can understand what the signal is from the sideline, they could be the quarterback.
So the Missouri Tigers' schedule for this upcoming season, they kick it off Saturday, September 2nd in Columbia, Missouri versus Missouri State. So they're going to play the Bears.
Do you think that game should count?
You know, it's a Division I. That's like playing SEMO. Except for, I think Missouri State might, have a little edge on Southeast Missouri. But it'll be a game like that, I would assume.
I'm not opposed to giving some money and sharing it with the state schools. But I just think that shouldn't count in the schedule.
Well, what about Michigan and Michigan State?
Okay.
Why not Missouri State? You just don't think they have the caliber of program, or what?
Are they in the same type of program, Michigan and Michigan State? Are they that different of a program? Because if you look at Missouri State.
Well, Michigan State's a lot better than Missouri State. I guess that's the
thank you. I rest my case.
I guess that's the point there. Then Saturday, they're going to kick it off with, it looks like, 4 games at home this year. They're going to come right back September 9th. The first game is going to be 11 a.m. I don't know why. I guess for TV reasons.
Right.
Money
talks,
Todd. It's so early to play that early in the morning. You know, you got to get out. If you're tailgating, you're coming up from St. Louis or KC, you got to get up real early for that game. Anyway. Then Saturday, September 9th, 6 p.m. in Columbia, night game versus South Carolina. That game will be on ESPN2. Then right back again, 4 in a row in Columbia. As a third game will be Saturday, September 16th, a 3 o'clock game versus Purdue. And that'll be on the SEC Network, 3 o'clock game. And then in Columbia on Saturday, September 23rd, it's Auburn in Columbia. It doesn't have a time. It's to be announced. On that game right there. Moving on, Saturday, October 7th, it'll be at Kentucky. That game will be in Lexington on the 14th. It'll be in Georgia, in Athens, Georgia, versus the Bulldogs.
That's right.
Then they'll be back in Columbia hosting Idaho. So Idaho.
That's the 21st.
The Vandals, October 21st. And then Saturday, October 28th, they'll be in Connecticut to take on the Huskies. And that'll be in East Hartford, Connecticut. And then it'll be a couple more back in Columbia, Saturday, November 4th versus Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Yeah, there's no time on that game. I guess at the end of the year, they don't put times on them because the way that the season unfolds, they just probably want to see, you know, like, you know, the records and whoever the top tiers are, will get those primetime television network programs.
There will be some adjustments.
And then here's going to be a good one. Saturday, November 11th, the day after my brother Tim's birthday, they'll be in Columbia hosting Tennessee. And Tennessee travels pretty well, and that's always a pretty rowdy game. Then they're going to go on the 18th to Nashville, Tennessee, to take on Vanderbilt. I might say, road trip! Road trip to Nashville.
Would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the week before Thanksgiving, that'll be fun. And the Tigers are going to end their season on the 24th of November at Arkansas. That's,
I guess, Kansas.
Arkansas, that's going to be the day after, I guess that's probably the day after Thanksgiving, because it's a 1:30 game on a Friday. So that's got to be the day after Thanksgiving. They'll have the NFL games on Thanksgiving, and then on that Friday.
Thanksgiving is on a Thursday, right?
Right. So this is on a Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
Friday, November 20th. So it's going to be football, football, football. I'm sitting here looking at the Tigers roster right now on the Friday Night Sports Jam with Black Sack and Company. DJ Don Johnson's here. The Fire Fan phone lines are open at 855-282-TALK, 855-282-8255 if you want to weigh in on Ezekiel Elliott, on Mizzou, on Derek Jeter's ownership group getting the Marlins. But I'm looking at the Tigers roster, and they must have 150 players. Because it seemed just like every player on here. I remember last year watching the games, and I'm like, I'm looking down, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's not him. Wait a minute. That's a black guy. He's white. So I'm looking at the Missouri Tigers roster. They've got two players, number one. One's a freshman, Deron Davis, so he, you know, I don't even know if he'll dress out. And then Anthony Hines, a senior. So one plays – oh, offense, and one plays defense. There's two number twos, T.J. Warren and Micah Wilson. Micah is a freshman quarterback, so he probably won't be dressing out, or he'll just be hanging out on the sidelines. Drew Locke has to share a number. The starting quarterback on the Missouri Tigers, Drew Locke, is number three, and he's got to share the number three with Ronnell Perkins, the safety, a sophomore safety. I just find that hard to believe.
We are family, Todd.
But it's your quarterback. Why would your quarterback have to share a number?
Why should he be greedy?
And then there's two number fours, Brandon Lee and Isaiah Miller. One's a freshman, one's a junior. They play. I guess if you do offense, defense, it's not that terrible. But here's another guy, Todd, Terry Beckner Jr. He's going to wear number five now, which is kind of weird. You know, he was wearing a 79 or 98 or something. I don't remember before. But he's a junior going into this year, and he's going to be sharing it with a freshman quarterback from Fayetteville, Arkansas. So that guy probably won't dress out. Jamon Moore, your top wide receiver, shares a number with linebacker Tavon Ross. Nate Brown shares seven with Cam Hilton. Justin Smith and Thomas Wilson both wear number eight. Now, here's the kicker right here. One, there's three players that wear number nine on the Missouri Tigers.
Now, we're family, Todd.
Demetrius Mason, he's a wide receiver. He's going into his sophomore year. He had a pretty decent freshman year last year. So I look at Demetrius Mason, and I'm like, he's got to share his number with a quarterback, a freshman quarterback, and a junior defensive lineman. How about that?
Well, who are they going to retire after those guys graduate, Todd?
Gosh,
which
I thought
one of those are they going to retire?
I don't know, but it goes 10. There's two of them, 11. I'm not going to do this all day. We're late for a break. But we're coming back. And just think about it. There's two 12s. There's only one 13. I guess Drew Locke didn't want to be 13. There's two 14s.
That's the lucky 13. 15, I was born on the 13. He
two 16s. You know, it goes all the way. There's two 29s. There's 334s on the Missouri Tiger roster.
Family.
Gosh, and you get down to the high numbers, and then they get to wear their own. Once you get past, let's see here.
Okay, Todd, let's go to the break. This is starting to get to you.
Yeah, it's starting to irritate the heck out of me.
That'll be okay, folks. Let's have a little break.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk Missouri Tiger basketball. And then after the break, we're going to talk with Jonathan Duncan about high school football. There's a bunch of football jamborees going on tonight. Those are a lot of fun as the 2017-18 prep sports scene is now underway. So we're going to find out who some of the top programs are, some brutal injuries, and much, much more in the 9 o'clock hour. So anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Yeah, welcome back to the Friday Night Sports Jam. We're kicking it on a Friday night in the Chuck's Boot Studios here in St. Charles. We're going to be moving the station to Kirkwood, the Kirkwood Brewing Station.
What?
Yeah, very shortly, in the next month or so. I don't know. You know, by the time we get here Friday night, last show of the week, the Monday through Friday scene, and it's kind of empty around here.
Would you say that we kick off the weekend as far as the last show time?
Yeah, we're kicking off the weekend.
Thank you.
That's how about
more
that?
Like it.
We'll
I
do
like that.
We're kicking it off. Having a good time in the studio. Jonathan Duncan will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. We're looking at the Missouri Tigers. We're talking football. We're going to switch over to basketball here in a minute. But if you look at the Tigers right now, their depth chart, it looks like right now they're expecting Drew Locke to be the quarterback. Obviously, Demaryius Crockett is going to be the main running back. Ish Witter is going to take a back seat, the senior. But he'll get a lot of carries. Jamon Moore is your go-to guy, wide receiver. Then you've got Jonathan Johnson in the slot. Demetrius Mason, he'll be the wide receiver on the other side. Tight end will be Kendall Blanton. And then you got the big guys in the middle. Your center, Sam Bailey. Then you've got Alex Abelin, Kevin Pendleton, Tyler Howell, and Paul Adams anchoring the offensive line. On the defense, you're going to have the defensive end, Marcel Frazier, Terry Buckner Jr., and A.J. Logan will be your defensive tackles. Defensive end will be Nate Howard. Your linebackers are going to be Brandon Lee and Eric Beisel. Then at cornerback, you're going to have DeMarcus Acy, Cam Hilton, Ronnell Perkins, and Logan Cheadle. They'll round out the secondary. And then you're going to have your punt returner, Jonathan Johnson. He will also be covering the kick return duties. And Corey Fatone Jr. will be he'll be your kicker.
Now, if you look at that, Tyler, on the defense, they've got three guys from the junior college. And I really stick my chest out for the junior college because I think that helps the program recover when they graduate some guys that either have, gone to the pros or a lot of experience. Because if you go to the junior college, you're going to play. And when they bring you up, you're ready to do it. And there are just so many people they've done that. Tommy Reeman was there when Curtis Brown. I could just keep going on and on. So, I mean, to get some players from the junior college, you're getting some experience, and that prevents you from having your program kind of slow down because these guys have been through it. They've been to some really intense games, and they have game experience as opposed to someone that has just sat on the bench and watched somebody else waiting for their turn. So I really have to give Odoms a right-on coach when he goes to the junior college and brings three guys out because I think he can fill him in on defense. Therefore, the defense will be ready to play when the ball is snapped.
All right, let's go over and talk some Missouri Tiger basketball. Huge news, John Tay Porter, four-star recruit, the younger brother of Michael Porter, is now coming to Mizzou to play with his brother Michael, the nation's top recruit. So you've got those two guys now. It's kind of cool. Well, it's not cool, but Lorenzo Romar got fired from Washington. And both of these kids were going to be Huskies. And so Lorenzo Romar recruited them. They had some down years. They were expecting to be the two players that were going to turn around the Huskies program. So Lorenzo Romar gets fired. Mizzou brings in Konzo Martin. He hires Michael Porter Sr.
And he had been in Columbia with the girls
as an assistant coach.
Right. He probably should have been the head coach.
He probably could be.
He had two daughters that played.
I mean, it's unprecedented. He had, Greg McDermott and Doug McDermott. I remember that when they were together at Creighton. But anyway, so Jonte Porter now is coming to Mizzou. It's going to be a very exciting year. Missouri has also signed Jeremiah Tillman, the eighth best center in the country.
6'10".
6'10". And Jonte, 6'11".
Four of them. That's what I'm saying. Four of them, but at least 6'10".
Porter's 6'10". Tillman's 6'1". And they got two 6'11s and a 6'10"? That's amazing. And you've got a roster right there in front of you. Let's look at the Missouri Tigers roster right now for the 2017 basketball season. You've got C.J. Roberts. He's a freshman guard coming out of Irving, Texas. Terrence Phillips. He's going to be coming back for his junior season at Mizzou. Just a little guy, 5'11", 180 pounds. But I tell you, he can be a good player. I think having these three guys join the team is really going to elevate the play of a Terrence Phillips, of a, you know, some of these other guys I'm looking here, especially Kevin Puryear. I look for Kevin Puryear to really flourish with these other guys. Hopefully they'll be team players and not trying to hog the ball. But I think Kevin Puryear is going to have a pretty good year this year, the 6'7 forward, junior forward out of Blue Springs.
Well, my thing is whether Coach Martin can get these guys to play defense. Because you can run them down the court, you know, maybe shoot the three, set that up. But can you play defense to get the ball back and to shut the opposing team off? That's going to be a question.
All right, this is true. So we're going to see what happens. Konzo Martin, the head coach. This is going to be really interesting, Don. I'm very excited about the prospects of it, but you know it still is football season right now, so we'll have to get to that later on.
Come on now, Todd. We want to build a dynasty in Columbia.
What, a one-year dynasty? They're going to have to be like a Kentucky dynasty because you know Michael Porter is going to be one and done.
But he might not.
I don't know. Why wouldn't he? I mean, everybody else, it's the number one recruit to the nation. Maybe he'll like Mizzou so much. He'll have all that extra dorm rooms he can hang out in that are empty.
It might take him a while to get the right people on his staff so that he makes the right move at the right time. He doesn't get there in a hurry, and all of a sudden he's going to be sitting on the bench. Because remember, once you go into the
he's not going to be sitting on the bench, trust me.
Professional basketball, they've got people that are already playing, okay? You're the young kid that's just coming out. So you are not going to sit there and take a veteran spot. They're going to gradually work you in.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes for a guy that's been playing all the time in the college ranks, that's hard to take. Because why? You used to being in the game, not watching the game.
All right, fantastic. So we'll see how that plays out. Very exciting news for the basketball team. Let's hope the football team can do a little something this year. So Tiger Woods.
A big something this year,
a big something. We got to go to break here in a minute.
They had a little something last year.
Switching gears a little bit. Tiger Woods has entered a diversion program. So if Tiger Woods, the golfer, completes this Palm Beach County 12-month program, his May DUI charge will be dropped. Now, he blew, and he didn't blow anything. He had no alcohol in his system whatsoever.
Medicine.
But he had some medicine. We don't know if it was opiates or Oxycontins or what, but his, you know, he wasn't behaving normally or rationally at the time, so they brought him in on a DUI. So he's eligible to have his DUI dropped and his court record sealed as part of a deal with the Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office that is being finalized. And I'm reading this from an article in USA Today yesterday, an article headlined by AJ Perez. So what does you know, what's he have to do in this program? I mean, it's going to be a mandate, a 12-month monitoring program. He's got to register with the county's DUI school. He's going to have to take classes on addiction and other things. Your thoughts, Don?
My thoughts are, if we recall back in history, there was a past manager for the Cardinals who was found in the car. He was stoned out of it. It was still in drive when the police came up and got him. Did he have to go through all his learning knowledge about this, that, and the other in order for him not to have this on his record? Or, Todd, you know who I'm talking about?
No.
The former manager for the Cardinals that was found in his car?
Oh, Tony La Russa.
Thank you. Did he have to go through all of this?
I don't know.
Because he was drunk, and he still had his foot on the gas pedal at the stop light.
Well, I thought he was fell asleep.
No, he wouldn't say what he did, but he had been someplace because he had something to drink and he fell asleep because he had been celebrating.
Tony liked his wine. That was in spring training, no doubt about it, you know.
So I'm saying if he had to go through this, go ahead, Tiger. If not, he had his foot on the gas when they pulled up to him. So they had to be careful waking Tony up because all he had to do was press down and the car was going to take off. Now, at least that's what they had in the paper. I wasn't there sitting next to him.
Fantastic. So, and Gary Pinkel himself, actually, somebody YouTubed that one. Somebody like took the officer's dash cam and showed the whole situation where they pulled him over and all that. So kind of a, unfortunate situation, but you know, I think Tiger will get through it. Okay. It'd probably make him a better guy. Maybe it'll help him get back on track as golfing.
Or either the doctors will make it clear next time they put him under this medication, don't drive.
Don't drive.
Right. All right. That way the whole situation doesn't present itself and he doesn't have to go through all this education, this, that, and other, unless everybody's going through it that they stop.
All right, it's a Friday Night Sports Jam right here on KFNS 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com, live streaming 105.7 FM HD2. We're going to take a break. On the flip side, we're going to be with Jonathan Duncan from West News Magazine and Mid Rivers News Magazine. We'll be talking some high school stuff and that and much, much more right after this.